thing shut down. So David couldn't even make it up to Canada to do his show. He had to rely on other people. And that's what's cool. So through a meeting through Dave Rave, Lou Molinaro, I got to meet David Bash. Good little chat that we had about pop music and the genesis of how it all got started, this festival of his. And on November 24th through the 26th, it will be held at the Casbah. So go down, check it out. Different artists each night, of course, about five artists a night, I think, somewhere around five or four. So there you go. What else do I got to tell you? I think it's like $10 cover. That's about it, really, man. So it was a good chat. I'm glad I did it. And thank you, David, for taking the time out. I know you were busy down in the States doing the one in New York or New Jersey, wherever that area is. So here's that chat with David Bash here on Steel City Music. Thank you for listening to Steel City Music. I am your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. Yes, that's my name. I'm kind of thrown just a little bit here. Of course, we are doing the pre-recorded Zoom interviews that we've been doing since 2020. You know, the whole COVID thing that kind of messed us around. My special guest right now is David Bash from International Pop Overthrow. I first met this gentleman 2018, maybe. Coming up from the States, a friend of a friend. It went from Dave Rave introduction to Lou Molinaro booking the festival at This Ain't Hollywood, and now this year, as of 2022, it's at the Casbah on November 24th to 26th. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie Gunner.
I was joking. I was just writing in the Steel City Music Facebook group. I get to talk to David again and ask him how it all started again. But I think I know, but I don't know, because I know we've chatted about, maybe it was just like the individual bands in the past that were on each specific bill. But I think we never really got into how it all really started for you in regards to this festival. And then, of course, I get to the website and I do a little bit of reading, and I'm kind of taken back just a little bit, just the amount of shows that have been put on over the years, everywhere from Vancouver to Stockholm, Sweden, Atlanta, Portland, Phoenix, San Francisco, Boston, New York, Chicago. You've been putting on these pop festivals. Where was the first one and why did you do it?
Well, I'm based in LA, have been since the early 80s, and so that's where the first one began, in August of 1998. And I did it because over the past few years past from 98, I had been writing reviews for various pop music fanzines and got to know a lot of bands from all over the world. And they knew I was from LA, so they would ask me about the LA music scene and how they might become a part of it, how they might play in LA. Also, at the time, there was an existing pop festival called Poptopia, and they knew about that as well. And they said, can you help us? We want to play Poptopia. And I said, well, I can talk to the organizer, see if he wouldn't mind my assistance. So I did, and he said, sure, you can refer bands to me. So I did that, and it turned out that Poptopia was much more LA-centric. So he didn't have a lot of room for bands from out of town, let alone out of the country. So he had to turn down most of them, not because they weren't good enough, but because they weren't local. So they would commiserate with me and they say, man, we really wanted to play Poptopia. We want to play in LA, you know. And I started to feel for them. And one day I was sitting with an attorney friend of mine named Ben McLean, music attorney. So it was December of 97. And we were talking about Poptopia. And I said, you know, I would like to do something similar, but instead of the focus being exclusively on LA bands, I'd like it to be more of a worldwide pop scene converging on LA, being galvanized and playing on bills with like-minded bands in front of people who would really dig them. And he said, you should. And that was really all the convincing I needed. And a few months later, we did it in August of 98. It went great. Before I get to that, I'd like to say that I was shocked at how many people from outside of the country accepted my invitation to play. Even bands I hadn't known, when I told them about the festival, they were so excited. And thankfully, back then, you could afford to fly.
Right. Yeah.
Not
absolutely.
Quite. Not so now. You could afford to fly. Accommodations. We had an arrangement with a hotel in Hollywood, where pretty fancy hotel, less than $100 a night. So people can afford it. We did it exclusively for 4 years in Los Angeles, and then in July of 2001, we had a panel show, and a bunch of bands said, "You know what? It's time you took this festival on the road." And I said, and I had some trepidation. But that night, a band member from New York, Michael Mazzarella, said, "Do it in New York. I'll help you. I'll get you venues. I'll get you bands. You know, with all the ones you know and all the ones I know, this will be great." And so we ended up doing it in New York, and it turned out to be 3 months after 9/11.
God, yeah.
But everyone wanted it to go on despite that, and it was a huge success. Following year, we were in Chicago, and that was poignant because I named the festival International Pop Overthrow in part to pay tribute to the band Material Issue, whose debut album was called International Pop Overthrow. They were a signed power pop band on Mercury Records, and their lead singer-songwriter, Jim Ellison, had taken his own life not long before. I wanted to pay tribute to them, so that's part of the reason why I named the festival that. And Chicago really took it to heart.
Right.
It was great. And then the one that I'm most proud of, in 2003, we were able to get ourselves into the Cavern Club in Liverpool, where, of course, the Beatles made their name. A lot of people think that's where they played their first gig. It wasn't, but that's where they played most of their shows. And that's when they got discovered by Brian Epstein, and the whole machine started rolling. But so we did it there. We've done it in many, many different cities throughout over the years. Some stick, some don't. The aforementioned cities have all stuck. Now, in 2007, I decided to bring it to Toronto. I had brought it, not that Vancouver and Toronto are the same cities, but I had done Vancouver the year before for the first time. It was really great, unbelievably great. And I thought, well, maybe is there something about the Canadian culture that people really go out? I mean, it's more of a social environment than is the U.S. I'm hoping we can duplicate that magic in Toronto. So we were able to get the Rivoli, which I had known about the Rivoli because I was a Kids in the Hall fan, and I knew that they had gotten their start there. I knew it was quite an iconic venue. And I was shocked that we even got in there, but we did. And we did IPO there for 5 years, actually. Doing pretty well, I have to say. After year five, maybe not well enough to their satisfaction. So we were no longer there, but we ended up rotating to a bunch of other Toronto venues. But, you know, as it was happening around, you know, 2014, 2015, a lot of venues started closing, not just in Toronto, but in all kinds of cities. So I was a man without a venue. In my last Toronto trip, I'd gone down with Dave Rave to This Ain't Hollywood to see the Flamin' Groovies. And I thought, wow, this is a cool venue. I love this place. And so when I was without a venue in Toronto, Dave said, "Why don't you bring it down to Hamilton? I can get you into This Ain't Hollywood." He didn't have to ask me twice. So we came down, was great, did it there for 3 years. And then, of course, we know that it closed. And I then needed another venue. And, you know, Lou Molinaro, great, great guy, one of the best club owners I've ever worked with, said, "You know, let me talk to a Brody over at the Casbah. I think he'll have you." And sure enough, he did. The only unfortunate thing about that last year was that because of COVID protocols, I was not able to go. Fortunately,
you were in the States.
Pardon?
You were in the States. You couldn't fly.
I was in the States. Yeah. You know, I'm a U.S. citizen. I couldn't come up. Of course, fortunately, every band I booked was from Canada, so there were no issues there. And Dave Rave and Lou got some people to help run it without in my absence, and it went really well from all reports. So here we are back again, and this time I will be there.
We'll continue on with the conversation with David Bash from International Pop Overthrow. But here's one of the bands performing Thursday, November 24th at the Casbah. Naked House with the track Change of Plan. You're hanging out with Gunner on Steel City Music.
Thank you.
You're listening to Steel City Music in a chat with David Bash from International Pop Overthrow, November 24th to the 26th at the Casbah. Well, I'm happy that you're able to get across the border and be a part of something that you've been doing since the late 90s, actually. When you were talking about starting things up in L.A. and saying how the festival, you've been moving around from different areas, some works okay, some areas of a country work okay in a venue, other places it works much better. It sounds to me that you're very much reliant on having a local promoter help facilitate all of this, because I personally couldn't see you sitting on the phone that length of time or emailing trying to secure that many venues and that many bands.
No, not. Well, the bands were a little bit, believe it or not, the bands were easier than the venues, because I had gotten to know so many bands over the years. Many of them had come to LA to play IPO.
Right.
But yeah, there were, like, my friend Michael in New York helped out. I had several friends in Chicago help out. The first year in Chicago, we used several venues, as we had in New York. I think if I had to go in completely cold, it would have made things more difficult. And as it happened, in some of the other cities, I did, you know, in subsequent years, I did start going in cold. But by that time, the festival developed a reputation, and
right,
I was able to get into different venues. Plus, at that point, we were already having a lot more social media. I was able to, with the help of my wife, Rena, we were able to find a lot of bands online from any city we wanted. Especially MySpace had the best search engine. you could narrow down categories to power pop from,
yeah,
I don't know, Bethesda, Maryland, and you'd find it.
Well, the creator, Tom, screwed all of that up. He sold it on us.
He did. But
yeah. David, when you were talking about the venues, I just want to ask you a question about the venues. Because there's so many different capacities, and there's always like different music scenes. It can only support so much. What is the ideal number for a venue that you would like? I mean, is it like 125 capacity, 200, or are you scared of doing like a 400 capacity room, 500?
I would, in the past, I was definitely not scared of that. And many of the venues we used early on were about that big, some even bigger than that in LA, but it was a different time.
Yeah.
There was a music industry. All the bands were younger, and their fans were younger. They were all going out. There wasn't nearly as much. There weren't nearly as many options of home entertainment. When I started IPO, DVDs had just come out. There certainly wasn't social media at that time, so people went out. Yeah. So there were so many factors in favor of booking big venues, because we knew we could fill them. As time went by, that became tougher and tougher. You know, as things changed socially, both culturally and in terms of our demographic, all of that stuff, it became tougher. So I started booking smaller venues because they're easier to fill. And they're a bit less of a headache, I have to say. The bigger the venue, the more details, the more people you have to satisfy. I'm kind of liking it this way. It suits my personality a little bit more.
Is it just, do you always, in each different market, are you doing like, is it sometimes a one night thing, a two night or a three night? What is your, depending on the market,
it's always depending on the market. Chicago and LA and Liverpool are the biggest ones, 8 or 9 days. And Liverpool, some of the days are really long, like from noon to two in the morning.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being a sound man on that show?
Well, they fortunately alternate a little bit. But I'm the MC of that show. I have to be up there introducing bands. And when I introduce a band, I usually say things about them. It's not just their name. So I have to remember as much as I can about what kind of music these bands have, where they're from, all of that. But, you know, in Liverpool, I'm so energized that it's not a problem. But some in Phoenix, for example, we just do one full day. But most cities, like Hamilton, are either 3 or 4 days. That's the most common number, I think, because Chicago, L.A., those are huge cities. The scenes can really support more days. Liverpool, we have bands from all over the world coming, so that's why it can support more days. Some of the smaller cities, not so much. But 3 or 4 is just right.
Actually. You just wrapped up in Boston, and you're in New York City now. No, sorry, you're in New York City now.
Yeah, we're starting tomorrow. We just got, my wife and I just got to New York this morning. So night number one of IPO New York starts tomorrow at a small venue called Bar Frida in Queens. We've never been there, but I heard great things, and so we're doing it.
You just said there's a bar in Queens that you're going to put on music, and my first reaction was, you lucky bastard. Because I'm sitting here in Hamilton, it's freezing outside, and it's a Wednesday night as we're doing this pre-recording. I'm thinking, I would kill to be there in Queens right now to check something like that out. That harkens me back to my early 20s, like, let's get in the van and go put on a show kind of vibe. Then you're going to go to Boston, and then you're coming up back here to Hamilton. Is that the end of it for 2022, or when do you pick up again in 2023?
No, that's it for 2022. As we get to the holidays, the season, it doesn't really pay to do shows. And then in the early months of the year, most of our cities are cold, and there's always a chance of a blizzard. We'd just rather wait until it gets a little bit warmer. I would have arranged things differently when I started out, but Poptopia in LA was happening in February, and I wanted to make sure that IPO did not interfere with it in any way. So we started in August. Now it's been in July for years, but I would not have done the summer in Los Angeles if I had had this planned out in advance. And I wouldn't have been doing Hamilton or Toronto in November. It would have worked out that the cold weather cities would have been in warmer months and vice versa.
We'll have more with David Bash from International Pop Overthrow. But first, from Hamilton, Ontario, performing Friday, November 25th at the Casbah, Danger Death Ray with the track Creature from the Black Planet. You're hanging out with Gunner on Steel City Music. And now more with David Bash from International Pop Overthrow on Steel City Music.
Not how it worked out.
Things can always switch in time. Once again, November 24th to 26th at the Casbah, International Pop Overthrow is happening. And you would think that I would have it called up here. Yes, I do. What's going on the Thursday? Coda Facto is performing, Naked House, Ruby's Revenge, Los Chucos. Also on the 25th, we have Clockwise, Just Jillian, Andy Griffiths, and The Lost Groove, James Clark Institute, with also Danger Death Ray, one of my favorite surf bands. On Saturday, Rose Corey Perry and The Truth Untold, Coop Blue Halos with Barry Walsh and Jason Ives, Mr. Moray, Roscoe GT, and Andy Butler and The Diplomats closing out the night on the Saturday, sir. How do bands get a hold of you? Say they see this lineup, they see what's going down. Where do they go to contact you, David?
They can go to internationalpopoverthrow.com. That's our website. I have a contact link up there. They can email me just send me a link to their music. That's usually how I like to start out. Anytime a band asks me if they can play, the first thing I ask is, well, Give me, can I have a link to your music? If I don't like a band's music, I'm not going to book them. If I don't think they're right for the festival, I'm not going to book them either. Now, this is a little bit of a mythbuster. When we started IPO in 1998, virtually every act was in the power pop arena. Bands influenced by, the Beatles, Badfinger, the Raspberries, Cheap Trick. I think bands that had that kind of sound but were more current at the time. What ended up happening was a lot of other bands who had the pop moniker bestowed upon them by the media or maybe themselves weren't being invited by me because they weren't power pop. And they say, look, your festival's called International Pop Overthrow, not Power Pop Overthrow. We're pop. Why aren't we playing? And I had a few fans of the festival say the same thing. They point out certain bands saying, they should be here. And I thought about it and said, you know what? They're right. So over the years, we've gradually, and I think effectively, widened our parameters. And if you look at the lineup here, a band like Danger Death Ray probably wouldn't have been playing any of the early incarnations of IPO, but they're melodic. What they do is very cool. They certainly are within the large pop umbrella, and I'm very happy to have them. And we have lots and lots of bands like that, not only in Hamilton, but in lots of different all of them. Some people don't want to let go of the stereotype, and they still call it a power pop festival. And, some of the old guard will say, why do you have that band there? They're not power pop. But I'm trying to tell you, we'll always have power pop. It's our foundation, but we're also going to have other things. We want it to be a pop music festival, melodic rock and roll of any stripe. So,
right. Well, you know what? You can't, if things stay the same, then they just get boring. So why would you want to be boring? You want to be creative and move forward.
I'm trying. And with that in mind, what I'd love to do is start getting more young bands involved. It's hard to find them now. Early on, it was easier because you had all these bands influenced by Green Day, who I will, to my grave, I'll call them a power pop band. And there were a lot of bands, even if they had a punk side to them, and it was a lot faster than most of the traditional power pop, they had those melodies. Billy Ray Armstrong could sing well, even if his style wasn't, even if he didn't sound like Frank Sinatra when he sang, he had a really good voice, the projected melody.
Right.
And in the, back in the day, there were a lot of young bands who were trying to sound like Green Day. You had the Warped Tour with all those kind of bands coming. And yeah, we used to have them at IPO. Those bands have disappeared.
Well, you know what, though, Dave? I can't really agree with you on that. The younger bands that sound like that, I've done a series of interviews over the last couple months, and there's a lot of like 18, 19-year-olds that are sounding exactly like Green Day. like right back in the
really.
Oh, it's incredible.
Show me some.
I'll send you some links, and it's hilarious because I'm in my 50s now, and I used to tour all the time with the Killjoys, and there's like and they were a power pop band, and you know this band used to actually do shows with Green Day, you know, on Edge Fest, and then you think, well, that's all done with now, right? Like I'm you know, this is like it's past its prime or whatever. And then you just get shocked when all of a sudden you're like, well, what? Where's this band coming from? That they shouldn't sound, I shouldn't really like this. But it's exactly what I loved back in my 20s and early 30s. I'm like, and they're playing it. They have no business knowing anything about it, yet they somehow grasped onto it and they sound fantastic.
Wow.
You know?
Well, so, I'm out of the loop. I'm a dinosaur.
Dinosaurs to an extent, you know, but I mean, but
you're hearing this stuff. I'm not. I need to know more about
the
it.
Thing about the thing about music that I discovered when I was a young man is that, you know, the more styles of music I listened to, I learned about stuff. But I was in the same boat you are right now years ago, where a friend of mine, Sean Palmerston, said. He said, you know, metal is, you know, you wouldn't believe the metal bands, young people that are into metal. And I'm like, no way. And I was like, you're full of it, Sean. And then I started discovering all like what they shouldn't even know who Black Sabbath is or Judas Priest or any of this stuff. Right. And yet, and they're like young bands just pumping it out. So I don't think, I think as much as we want to like put music in a certain category or timeline, it comes back and kicks us.
That's really
10 years later,
you know,
and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with getting my ass kicked when it comes to learning about new music and finding out that things that I enjoy, younger generations are picking up on and putting that music out. Hey, thanks for taking the time out. And I look forward to seeing you when you come up here in the old hammer at the Casbah, November 24th, 26th, Dave.
I thank you for having me, Gunnar. I look forward to seeing you and seeing it. It's been since 2019 that I've been there now. So this will be the last city that I'll physically be back to post-COVID. Right.
We'll make sure Lou Molinaise will be there as well.
Okay. I sure hope so. I'm looking forward to being in Hamilton, going record shopping, which is what I love doing every city. But you've got some really cool record shops. And of course, going to the Casbah for the first time.
You'll love it. I'll put your name at the door. Don't worry about it.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, Gunnar. We'll see you then. Hi, everyone. This is David Bash, the founder and CEO of the International Pop Overthrow Music Festival, which we'll be bringing to the Hammer. That's right. Hamilton, Ontario, from November 24th through the 26th. At the Casbah. And I want to thank Gunnar and Steel City Music for having me on. And I cannot wait to get there. And we hope you all come out and see some amazing melodic rock and roll.
All right. Thanks for the chat, David. International Pop Overthrow, November 24th to the 26th here in Hamilton, Ontario. Here's one of the artists playing on Saturday, Andy Butler and the Diplomats. Fade Out on Steel City Music.
It's getting hard to choose.
You're listening to Steel City Music, and I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. Had a chat with Robin Magner. She fronts a Rocket and the Renegades. Cool little rock act out here out of Hamilton, Ontario. They are performing with a bunch of other people. Alfie Smith, the Trouble Tones, Hellbent Rockers, Tennessee Voodoo Coop. It's all a part of Over the Moon, a musical tribute to and fundraiser for the family of Big Rude Jake. He had made a great impression on people here in Hamilton and the Toronto music scene. And we lost him a little while ago. And I'm glad that they're putting this on at Stonewalls on November the 20th. Shows from 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. Doors are at 2. Show starts at 2:30 p.m. So here's my chat with Rocket. It was fun. And please head down to Over the Moon on November 20th in the afternoon. Show starts at 2:30. Thanks for listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. Of course, my special guest right now is Robin Magner from Rocket and the Renegades here out of Hamilton, Woo! Ontario. And of course, she is emceeing a show of shows on Sunday, November 20th at Stonewalls here in Hamilton, Ontario. It's a musical tribute and fundraiser for the family of Big Rude Jake, the great Jake Hebert. Everyone knew him, loved him. Everyone still loves him and misses him. On the bill is Alfie Smith, the Trouble Tones, Rocket and the Renegades, Hellbent Rockers, and Tennessee Voodoo Coop. And of course, she's also emceeing. And here's my first thought, Robin, was like, oh my God, she's going to put on a plaid jacket and pretend she's a little Jewish comedian. Yeah.
There's a little Henny Youngman in me.
I think the first thing I thought was you wandering on a stage and like firing off barbs in this really tacky roasted jacket, you know?
They'll like, all be roasted.
Roasting all these poor people, you know? So, hey, this sounds like a really nice thing for everyone to do. How did you become a part of all of this?
Well, you know, Rick Prinstall is the one who really was the brainchild behind it, because he went to the Jake Fest that was held in Toronto and he was so moved by it. It was packed. And he said, you know, us Hamilton musicians should be doing something. And so this is a rescheduled show from June, really. And so we're just happy to do it. We're all covering Big Rude Jake songs from the album Over the Moon. And that's why it's called Over the Moon, the event.
That's awesome. I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that Rick initiated this and got things going and put together. Tennessee Voodoo Coop is also Jake's band as well. He was in that band.
Yes, that is his rockabilly band, Tennessee Voodoo Coop. And these guys are really top shelf rockabilly. They'll blow your mind. This is the last time they're ever going to play under this name, Tennessee Voodoo Coop, with respect to Jake. But you can get all their music online. They're going to be selling some CDs there and some merch, so right. You can contribute that way.
Right. I would imagine every band's going to be bringing some merch, that sort of thing, to sell at the show and stuff, just what everyone always does. This is also the funds are going to Big Rude Jake's family.
Yes, he's got a daughter, Hope, and his wife, Annalisa. And Jake lived here in Hamilton. You know, he was born in Niagara Falls. And of course, he got pretty famous there in Toronto. He's almost infamous with the music scene. But here's where he chose to live for the last 10 years. So that's how we met him, Rick and myself and our band. This is how we've met Jake, just on the scene around here.
I was always intrigued by him because of the amount of coverage that he used to get in the Toronto music scene over the years. And he really got things going. Part of the swing movement, like it came back, like a renaissance. I believe it was like in the 90s and early 2000s. It just kept coming back. And he was like one of these guys that everyone kept mentioning. You got to go check Big Rude Jake out.
There was really no musical genre Jake couldn't do. It was really, you know, the more I learn about him, the more I'm really impressed, because this is the rockabilly side that we'll be covering. But Jake did jazz. You know, right. He really was an amazing guy. He did blues. He did swing, like you say. And even his celebration of life, it was something out of a New Orleans picture book, the music, and the music he had written. So he was really almost a prodigy, in my opinion.
I'm super happy that you're doing it once again, November 20th on Sunday, November 20th at Stonewalls. You can find out more information. If you hit the Stonewalls website, they should have it up. Of course, it's being shared around on social media as well. Switching gears. Now, we talked about all of those other fun things. How did you fare out at the Tommy Stinson show when I last saw you?
Oh.
You had a tray of cookies. you had your leopard, what was it, like a leopard shirt or a leopard mini skirt on?
I know no boundaries
and you showed up stars. And I showed up to see the great Tommy Stinson at the Casbah, and you had been there since sometime around noon.
6 o'clock. Oh, 6:15. Okay. 6:15. I stopped at Value Buds and it made me late, and I missed the sound check.
And you showed up to get your guitar autographed. And
yeah.
So you meet him earlier on, and I know I shouldn't be telling the story, but I think this is really funny. You show up at that time to get your guitar autographed. Tommy, big fan, here's some cookies. At what time did you leave the venue on a Wednesday night?
Oh, yeah, late. Whenever it ended. 11:30. I'd never been that early. It was pretty exciting. I didn't even leave because I was too excited.
Yeah.
And so I just hung around. And he had gone when I got there for soundcheck. He'd left the building. So I didn't actually meet him till the end of the show.
That's hilarious.
There you go. I had to wait just like anybody else. So I don't know what I was thinking. But, you know, I had a nice chat with Lou and Justine Fisher. Yeah. So it was all good.
Well, you got to see him. So that's
I got to see him.
It's funny though, because when I found out about it, and when I ran into you, I was like, Robin, you know, like, it's not like it's like the early days where you got to show up early, you know, like,
yeah,
you know,
it like, was almost what was like I crazy. I've never gone to a sound check. It was Rhoda's idea, because I said, Rhoda, I want to get my guitar signed. She goes, why don't you go for sound check? I said, well, that's a good idea, but I didn't know when sound check was. I just thought, well, it's got to be around 6-ish, but he'd already left.
So you throw Rhoda under the bus.
Rhoda, what were you thinking?
And she didn't even go to the show with you because she's smart.
No, she was at home.
All right. Listen, you have a good time emceeing everything. Good on you and others for doing this show, Over the Moon at Stonewalls. It's a tribute to a musical tribute and fundraiser for the family of Big Rude Jake on November 20th.
Sorry, Jamie. I wanted to just tell you that I have a big announcement in my own band that.
Okay.
My new bass player, the ever-excited John Welton, has joined the Renegades, and he's from Forgotten Rebels fame. He was on the This Ain't Hollywood album.
Really?
So, yes.
Oh, I remember John Welton.
Bob. He's
Did
a tall
he not play in the Blue
water.
Angels, too?
He played – you are good, Jamie. Yes, Gunner. He played for 2 years in that band, and, oh, boy, he's got stories, and he is awesome, and he'll be with us November 20th, and
awesome.
That's pretty exciting for me. Yeah, woo! Come meet John Welton, guys, November 20th.
All right. Thanks, Robin, for the time, buddy.
Thanks a million for having me on. Love you, Jamie.
Steel City Music.
This is Rocket from Rocket and the Renegades. You're listening to Steel City Music. Here's our latest, Best You Never Had.
You're fucked up.
Best You Never Had from Rocket and the Renegades. November 20th, Over the Moon, musical tribute and fundraiser for Family of Big Rude Jake. It's at Stonewall's. It starts at 2:30. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. Stonewall's is located at 339 York Boulevard here in Hamilton, Ontario. Alfie Smith will be on the bill. The Treble Chargers, of course, Rocket and the Renegades, Hellbent Rockers, and also Tennessee Voodoo Coop. And also DJing is Men in Black Entertainment. So there you go. Once again, a musical tribute and fundraiser for the Family of Big Rude Jake, Over the Moon. All right. So I'm glad that all you guys are doing it. You all have big hearts and good on you. And also a special shout out to Heather Sinclair. She actually pretty much helped organize everything for the bands and the show and over at Stonewall's. And Rick, who wanted to do it here in Hamilton, Rick Prinstall, what Robin said, and all the bands. And yeah, man, go buy a ticket, raise some cash, and pay tribute to Big Rude Jake. Big Rude Jake, different styles of music, everything from swing to rockabilly. And like I said to Robin, that guy always intrigued me because he was pretty big in the Toronto music scene, and he moved to Hamilton, and I would see him all over the place. And I only had a chance to, like, maybe chat with him briefly over the years, like little small interviews, that sort of stuff. So my loss. I wish I would have interviewed him more. So I thought I'd spin a couple tracks from Big Rude Jake. And what do we got lined up here? Three Drunks at Last Call just reminds me so much of Tom Waits. It's got that kind of vibe to it. Really super cool. And the other track I picked out, Cold Steel Hammer as well. So we'll spin those two tracks from Big Rude Jake here on Steel City Music. All right. Starting things off, Cold Steel Hammer.
Well, a crow and a jackal and a jackfish. The crow and a jackal and a jackfish. The crow and a jackal and a jackfish. The crow and a jackal and a jackfish. Well, the sun comes up like stink off a dumpster, and Parkdale wiggles like a leech. When somewhere on the corner of Hale's Half Acre, the morning comes and kicks me in the teeth. Well, I've been busting my ass for the boss, man. My back is bowed, I'd be from toe to crown. I feel the long, hard skull cracking blow to the noggin as the cold steel hammer swings down. And I can't stop thinking about that goddamn dog, tied up by the neck and back of next door. He eats from the garbage and he never leaves the yard. When the shies keeps a piling up a high and high. When the shies keeps a piling up a high and high. And the crow and the jackal and the jackfish are suited up to go another round. Well, I'll be up to my ticker and deppies when the cold steel hammer swings down. They found a jackfish rolled up like a tater button with a Doc Martin footprint on his face. Thought there was lots of broken bodies and a lot of broken bottles and blood all over the place, man. And the crow was dancing in the roadkill while the grip on the jackal spun around. He'll do a long, hard stretch on a big piece of granite when the cold steel hammer swings down. And I can't stop thinking that there's gotta be a hole somewhere in the bottom of the Parkdale bowl. I'm twisting up while I'm and I try to dig that squeeze, but that sieve keeps sucking live on me. Yeah, that sieve keeps sucking live on me. And I'm a fighting like a tiger in a top hit, and that suck hole makes a terrible sound. And I'm a fighting all the way, but I just keep sinking, and the cold steel hammer swings down. Hey, kid, don't touch that. Leave that alone. Got it, Alex. Well, the jackal got a barrel full of sucker baits, and the jackfish got a line to troll the streets. And the crow cried, carry on with a carry on, and smiled to show the flesh shuck in his beak. Well, the bill's water whiskey and bathtub gin smells like dead smells wash up on a beach. I trip up on the curb and fall flat on my face and plant my kiss the way I used to plant my feet. And I can't stop thinking about that piano spit, honey glazed and barbecue and burnt to a
my lip swells up like a aroma tomato. I keep telling myself, just keep shaking your head, because a crow and a jackal and a jackfish won't start eating till I shut it, I'm dead.
The coin slot ash comes on like a cripple at the foot of Christ, and he's begging me for one last valentine's. He's a coin slot, a buckshot, a gut rot belly party. Wants the Rickenbacker clock to stop and slowly unwind, and spend the rest of his days in a misty whiskey haze, in a minute for they cut closing time. I've been a fly on the wall, and I've been a flash in the pan. I've been the cock of the walk, and a flim-flam man. But for all I've seen, I just can't understand why a fool won't fold while a fool still can. Cat goes and draws out her claws and stares down the babe at the end of the bar, convinced that that chick is moving in on her time. Well, she's a barbell, a cocktail, a bombshell, ne'er-do-well, and in the pell-mell nutshell that houses her mind, she's gonna make that bitch pay in some kinky, slinky way. She's gonna win her man back when they call closing time. Is love to expand your dough. When the crunch comes down, baby, you'll find I don't drink alone. I say attitudes and platitudes and affected sounds abound. You can call her a free spirit. I call her getting jerked around. Yeah, right. And with his hands on the bumper, in a parlor in town, some kid goes and puts his last dollar down. His knuckles go white, but he's gotta let that bundle ride. Well, he's a chalk glue, a pool cue, a gumshoe billiard fool. He's gotta follow through, that's true blue, but he's still 4 games behind. He ducks an old-fashioned, sweaty, rolling, foolish landlady. He's gotta win it all back when they call closing time. And I wish I could tell you exactly how it feels to finally leave this whole bunch behind. But nothing ever sounds all that profound when the lights come up at closing time. What did I say? When the lights come up at closing time. Who those guys over there? Just some drunks we knew at closing time. All right, drink up and get out!
You're listening to CIOI, Indy 101.5, Hamilton's home for alternative.
You're listening to Steel City Music.